Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
All right, guys, welcome back to the Clubhouse episode. This is a Friday, little treat, little special. Get you set up for the weekend. it's getting very close to Augusta and the Masters.
Arguably too close.
It's like it is after this weekend, and nobody cares about the weekend before Augusta.
No.
It's then the week of the Masters, Augusta.
Do you know what day you're going on yet?
No, I think I'm going Tuesday. I'll be there for Wednesday. I know that for a fact.
It's very contrasting how we live our lives, because I couldn't do that. I couldn't just not know. But you're happy just not knowing. You just, yeah, find out when I find out.
It'll be Monday or Tuesday.
Yeah.
And I'm actually fine from Heathrow.
So how are you getting there?
Not a day.
Yeah, this is very...
I'll sort it out.
Are you excited about going as much as when you first went to Augusta? Does it wear off or not, genuinely?
Yeah.
Yeah, don't go. We'll swap.
And it's weird to say that. It's a bit like going to the Open, like this year. It's a bit like asking you. You were excited about going to the Open in July.
Nah. but
we have been. You know, if it's your first ever one or something, you've literally like it's the only thing you can do. It's amazing. Like, I'll tell you what we'll do very quickly, and the four of us can participate in this. Okay. Right now, Clubhouse office episode. I want you to name me who is going to win the Masters. And then in 2 weeks' time...
Can we do two? Can we have like an actual and then like a bit of an outsider? And then your outsider can be a bonus point. Whoever's outsider finishes highest.
Okay. Ed, you're up first. You can have
the
first.
Can we have the same person as your best one at all? Because are we all going to go the same?
No, I like eight different ones.
Right, we'll need to think of
if one's taken, we can't.
Yeah.
Right, well, we need to think
It's not.
No, it is. This is really.
Yeah. It's not going to govern what we do for the rest of our lives. Go on, Ed. You get to first pick.
All right, so it's going round in a circle.
Yeah,
so
you
one,
can go first. For your
I'm
going
to go Zalatoris.
Oh, wow. Okay, that's fine. Fine by me. One map.
You can have him.
I'll be boring, say Scotty.
Yeah, that's what I was going to do.
So you're going to go Scotty. That's Adam Scott, right? Guy.
Oh, you're next, mate.
Oh, me?
Feel free.
I'm going to go Bold.
Okay.
I'm going to go Rory.
Okay. I'm going to go Koepka.
Okay.
Wasn't my first choice, but...
Ed?
Outsider.
Tommy Fleetwood.
Oof.
Are we going... Okay, I didn't know how outsider we were going. That's fine. It works.
Matt?
I'm going to go Minwoo Lee, friend of the channel.
Okay. I am going to go for... I'm going to go Ricky Fowler.
I'm going to go really weird one now. Adrian Meronk. I don't know why.
You can have him.
I just saw him then on the thing.
I'm just double checking.
If he wins, though.
Is Ricky definitely playing?
I'm guessing so. I don't actually know.
Let me double check. I want to make sure Ricky's actually playing, isn't it? Sure he is doing.
Well, just so you know, Adrian Meronk played the Masters once last year and was cut. So that's how money's on him.
If everyone can do us a favour and not watch the Masters until we collectively say these names out. So everyone, not us four, as in all the viewers and listeners.
Don't watch the Masters.
Don't watch it. And then it won't spoil for us who's... won it from our little sweepstake. No, I know.
Because the Masters the week after this.
I know, I'm all lost.
Okay. I've got another question then that we can all answer. This is from Tyler Ballard on the Facebook group.
So, Rick, I know you personally class people in the Facebook group as not family, but close friends. I class them as family. Matt, what do you think about people who are members of the Rick Shields Golf Show podcast Facebook group?
I'd say really close cousins. Like,
oh, okay, that's a little weird.
Oh, no, you like to see, you see them at the family party and you're like, yeah, I like them.
But you're not allowed to get in the relationship with them.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay,
exactly.
I like that.
Ed?
They're on my close friends' Instagram story.
I like that.
Jeez.
That's a nice different way of doing it. Well, Tyler Ballard, and I would have classed him as a friend, but he starts off his comment with a little bit of a jibe. 3 weeks straight, same question, haha. So he was basically alluding back to me asking for questions on the podcast group that he's asked this question 3 weeks.
That's a good one, then.
Well, not really, but anyway, we'll go with it because he's asked 3 times. If you were ever to listen to music during a round of golf, what would it be? Ed, you're up. You've got a nice.
I think me and Matt have the same answer.
Definitely,
we go in the C bomb.
Yeah,
yeah.
Country. You're not into it, are you?
I've yet to find a genre for my music taste out on the golf course, out on the links. But my music taste in general is very sporadic. I can like
eclectic.
Yeah, I can like anything and everything.
Yeah. Like, rock. You don't like rock?
I don't like rock. No, and that's going to offend people. But I don't like rock. I'm definitely swaying towards country. And I think the hardcore country fans will hate that at the moment.
Because of Beyonce's
album.
It's
just very on trend, isn't it? And I think hardcore country fans will be like, God, we were there before Buddy Beyonce.
Country is so big in America. It sounds obvious, but I didn't realise how big it was. And you know what? This question's quite fitting because I'd never been somebody that listens to music on the golf course. It doesn't interest me until I played with these guys, Matt and Ed, in Scotland one time. Mm. And they had a speaker and did indeed put country on. And you know what? It is the perfect vibe. I think because, sounds weird, I didn't know any of the songs. So I wasn't like singing along to them as such. It was dawn. It was like, you know, when you go to a nice bar and you could be in there for 3 hours and someone say, was the music good? You go, yeah, it was. Name one song. I couldn't. It's just there, just atmospheric. And that was very much like country. It's just there. It's chilling. It's ticking over. Really did enjoy it.
I'd probably, it depends on the weather, but I'd definitely be into like Ibiza chill tunes.
I'm with you. Okay, that would work.
You know, like a cool Ibiza bar or a bar on holiday. It's like you said, it's just, there's good music going on, but you don't really know what it is.
But question then for you, for all of you guys, but at what point though, something I love about golf, certainly either playing on my own or playing with other people, is I'm not a big like, what's the word I'm looking for? I find it very mindful. And what I mean by that is, when you play golf, you've got a lot going on, but yet it's very simple. You're thinking about what golf shot you're going to hit, what club you're hitting, what the wind's doing, what hole you're looking forward to, what not looking forward to, how you're playing, etc. And it is, you were very much in that. I think when you start going on your phone too much, there's music on, there's other distractions, it takes you almost away from the golf. Is it too much heavy music? I don't mean it's like loud and blurry, but is it? Should it just be done in the, listen to the birds tweet?
I think I'd be forever conscious whether it's too loud or too quiet.
Other people.
If I was controlling it.
Yeah.
If I was controlling it, I'd be like, is that too loud? Is that too quiet? On the very limited times I have used music out on the golf course, that's the one thing I'm like, I don't know if this is the right volume or not. Like,
you want that magic number that's just there.
And it's very difficult to get. Because also, as you get closer to, let's say, you've attached a speaker to a buggy, or there's actually now buggies with speakers in, like when you get in the golf buggy, it's dead loud, and when you're 10-15 yards away, you can hardly hear it. It's a difficult one.
Ed, talk me through how you do it. How do you go onto the golf course with a speaker and ensure it's the right volume? Is it a vibe, just a natural instinct?
I don't know. I think in America it's very different because it feels more accepted there.
Yeah.
Whereas here in the UK, you feel like you're going to get judged. Yeah. So it's less.
I feel like risky, other groups will judge you if you've got music on. I feel like other holes will be like, look at those rascallions.
But should it be quiet enough that the holes can't hear it? Is that the sweet spot?
It's hard, isn't it?
And certain golf courses, I think, would suit it. I think the Belfry might work, a bit of music.
But this is where, again, that volume, when you're so close to it, you don't know what it sounds like on another hole.
Very true. We're very British,
I always play it so that if you walk away from your bag and you're hitting, you can't really hear it yourself. And then you go back to your bag and it's just, I like the music, just walking between shots.
Yeah, coffee shop music.
Yeah, yeah, it's nice.
Okay, good. Yeah, fair dues. From, go on.
No, sorry.
All right. This is from, I'm really sorry, Joe, but I can't actually read his surname. It is U-T-S-C-H, Ulst, Joe, yep. Ulst, maybe. Will Rick review Titleist drivers and fairway woods ever again?
Ever again?
He's not done the last ones.
Yeah,
is
you're
it
right.
T-R or T-S-R?
Yeah. Well, there's also, have you seen the the almost the TSR Mini.
Yeah,
that looks quite cool.
It does.
To be honest, it was one of those things where at the time Titleist were really, really like almost to some degree pushy to get me fitted. I didn't have the time to get fitted. They didn't send me products. I didn't review it. That was as simple as it was, and just never kind of got around to it since. We've not even got the drivers now, have we?
No. There will be a new one, I think, coming out before too long, though. It's normally the back end of this year it comes out, so it won't be too... And they obviously do a lot of, like, seeding on tour, don't they, before it comes out, so it won't be long.
So I'll wait for the next batch. But yeah, no, there's nothing... I must admit, out of all the driver releases, Titleist seem to play it the safest.
Mm-hmm.
And Ping a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't mean they're bad drivers, but they play it really, really safe, don't they?
I agree. I think if someone said to you now, there's the five big brands or whatever, and you can see... So I've got here, right, on this laptop... Some hidden files, Rick. I've got Ping's Next Driver, Titleist, TaylorMade, Callaway, Cobra. And you can see just one for next year. I've got early access image. Who would you be picking?
TaylorMade.
Yeah. It's just...
You know what's mad again, going back to the main podcast we did earlier, was this idea of brands going in ebbs and flows. Like, quite literally growing up, when we were growing up, what were the... There was two major driver brands.
I would say TaylorMade and Titleist. For me, would you agree?
Callaway? You know what? Genuinely, when I was first ever growing up, and a name we actually missed off the original list, the two driver brands that were honestly so popular were Titleist, mm-hmm. definitely, and Mizuno.
To be fair, yeah, Mizuno. Yeah, true.
Like, Mizuno drivers were unbelievably popular when I first started.
No, you're right.
Golf.
I remember my brother getting one. He got a T-Zoid, and... I think it was probably one of the last drivers or the last handful before it then did start to fall off. I think Faldo used them.
Yeah, and then it started to get into Callaway and started to get into a bit of TaylorMade and stuff. But that, even
no,
that,
that's true.
It's crazy, isn't it?
I think I was thinking about the R7 Quad, which was actually a bit after that.
Well, yeah, there's obviously a small age gap between you and me, so there would be a little bit of a difference, definitely.
Do you remember the Hippo Giant?
I do remember the Hippo CC. Giant.
Hippo was actually quite good at them days as well. What was John Daly had it?
I don't know if you've ever... What was your first ever set of clubs?
Okay, it's a good question. My first ever set of golf clubs were Lynx Boom Boom with Fred Couples' signature on them, and they were a junior set, and it came with a 3-wood that was a big head, like a driver, really. A 5, 7, and 9 and a putter. So it was, what's that, 5 clubs in a little dead small skinny like pencil bag. And they were my first ever actual golf clubs. From there, I'll give you a quick history lesson, I won't go too depth. I then progressed to a lady set of Howson irons that you could buy individually from JJB. So you could buy a 4-iron, a 5-iron, and I built them up slowly. And then my next set of irons, which was like my first proper set really, were Titleist DCI Gold, which were really nice, very offset, lovely irons. And I'll always remember on the bottom, it would say 7-9, 8-9, etc., as you'd expect. But it also had the loft on as well. So it had the loft of each club, and they were very traditional. Pitching wedge was 48, 3-iron was 21. And then went off on my journey of all sorts of clubs.
Do you remember, lads?
I'm pretty sure I had some DCIs, but cut down to about an inch.
DCIs were great.
Really good.
And maybe some McGregor's.
McGregor's, another brand that fell off.
Like fell off a cliff.
Matt, what were your... Yeah. Matt's...
I mean, I had the very old Ping G. That's what I remember when I was young at Mere, when Rick used to coach me. But then, like, I stopped golf for a while and then came back into it. So my first actual full set of clubs, I had those TaylorMade RAC.
Oh, nice.
Irons. I think we were actually looking at those at the Golf Bidder thing recently.
Did you say RAC or RAC? I used to say RAC back in the day.
I used to say RAC.
But I did hear people say RAC as
the
well.
The little yellow insert in the back. Yeah,
I'm actually... Irons, I couldn't remember the brand of my first irons, but you just mentioned it a minute ago. Howson.
Yeah.
And I'm literally just on eBay now, and there's some old Howson clubs, which I'm pretty sure looked exactly like the ones I had. I mean, they're absolutely dreadful.
Were Howson
really
part of the Hippo brand? I always thought they were.
They might have been. There was actually a set called Howson Woozy, which obviously is inspired by Ian Woosnam. But yeah, I definitely had a set of Howson clubs. I feel like there was something like Howson DW10s or something.
That does actually... I'm looking online now. Howson were a golf brand, and Hippo was formed in 91-92 out of Howson. So it was... And Hippo, apparently, I'm looking here, still a brand online. Yeah, Hippo. Wow.
Do you remember what golf balls you remember playing with when you was a kid?
So, again... You'll wish I hadn't asked. When I first started, you had the Titleist Turbolata, 1900, and the title is Professional 1900, and then Pro V1 came out in the 2000s, which I think it was actually 2000, which changed the game. You also had Maxi Revolution, which then evolved to the Maxi A10.
Yeah.
Strata Tour Professional.
Oh, they were
and the other ones that used to have the playing card like symbols on.
I love Strata because it was the first golf ball.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
And add a zero as the number. And I was like, how cool is that?
Yeah.
I loved the Strata golf balls.
I remember that Dunlop came back out with the Dunlop 65U, which was quite good. Bizarrely, Slazenger came out with a four-piece golf ball in the early 2000s. It was phenomenal. It was really soft, but like too soft.
I remember obviously when you were a kid, you play with any old ball. I remember playing with like Arnold Palmer golf balls, and they were like bricks. They were really hard. I think even Greg Norman had a golf ball out as well, and they were both really hard golf balls. I remember getting a box of Stratas, like a brand new box, probably for my twos money. When I used to play at Hart Common in West Orton, we used to have a little par three course.
Yeah.
And the first hole was like a 60-yard par three, maybe even short 50 yards. And me and my pal used to get, I was obsessed with spin, as I still am now. We'd stand there with a brand new box of tour professionals, someone, or tour ballatas, strata. Someone would go down to the green and the other person would hit, and you'd hit 12. And all you'd be looking at is the spin.
You've got the most spin,
and then you pick them all up and you go back to the tee, and then the other person would hit. And we'd literally, this box of 12 golf balls would be a battered after the end of it, but it was so good. I loved it.
It is weird. I know you probably it's probably like rose tinted glasses looking back, but I do really remember that the equipment back then in the late 90s, early 2000s, and even through into mid 2000s, it was different because you didn't have the internet as much as you do now, where you could see stuff all the time. Yeah, I remember those golf balls.
The Arnold Palmer titanium edition.
Do you know what titanium actually meant? I believe
no.
So at the time, titanium drivers were coming out and everyone was talking the titanium story. So obviously, drivers went from steel, well, from persimmon to steel to then titanium, and now we've even got carbon. And golf balls started to have the word titanium in them a lot as well. And I think people naturally put two and two together and thought there was some sort of metal in them. But apparently, I think titanium was a type of whitening that they'd use to actually put on the golf ball.
No way.
But it was marketed like cleverly so. Do you remember there was a golf ball? I think this was a Strata. Might have even been a Precept, and it was, oh no, I take it all back, it was Wilson Staff, because they made great golf balls at the time, and it was meant to be a lot more balanced, and the advert for it was actually a golf tee but upside down, and then the golf ball was like balancing on the top of the, you know, the spiky bit of a tee, because it's meant to be so balanced. But the, it felt like back then, because there was no internet, you'd see things for the first time in a pro shop as opposed to online weeks or months before. And it felt like, again, I might be again going back with rose-tinted glasses, but there was a bit more competition because it felt like brands could make something that was good and it would take off. Like, you had a lot more, you know, those brands like Ram were still really good, like McGregor we mentioned before, Lynx, and then you still had your Titleist, your TaylorMade, your Pings, your Callaways, Mizunos. In fact, there was more choice to a degree.
Do you remember, was it Ogio? I don't think it was. I don't think they were around then. Izzo
straps.
You get the Izzo double straps. Yeah. I think I've told this story on the podcast before. There was a TaylorMade bag and it was crazy, really. And it used to have, in the straps, it used to have these two straws that would come round, so it almost be near your chest. And you could fill a bag in the actual bag full of liquid and you could suck it through the straw so you could stay hydrated.
I also remember, and this is probably happening today that I just don't see because I'm not a member of a golf club and certainly not a junior, but like fashions that came and went. So obviously there's a standard, there was the stupid coloured pants and white belts was a big one. There was the pencil bag that because it was weird at my golf club. It went from everyone having a stand bag, and then like electric trolleys became a thing. But then it became actually having a pencil bag was a big thing. So good.
Those Titleist pencil bags,
so good.
And the Ping ones, and then proper Ping Hoofer bags.
I've never owned a Hoofer bag, but always liked them.
They were just so cool.
And even as a junior, I remember little things now that you don't even think of was such a big thing. Like getting a new pair of shoes was just a massive deal, or getting a new grip on your driver. Wind grips became all the thing. They had soft and. Yeah, I loved it. I absolutely loved it.
Pencil bags feels like they're on the way back in, though.
Well, they definitely come in ebbs and flows again, pencil bags.
But the thing is, the pencil bag, they often look good. I don't really... You've had one before, haven't you? The Ping one recently. I don't really like them because even on a summer's day, you might think, oh, I don't need waterproofs. You've got all your clubs are jammed in. And then if you only take a half set, it's actually that good.
I'm not a huge fan.
I love
pencil bags. Do you think it was better? Do you think it was better back then? Are we looking at it the wrong way?
I think we're looking at it the wrong way, but I also do think there was definitely more innovation back then, because if you think about even driver heads, like I remember the Hippo Giant being 400cc and my friend having one, and it was obscene. It was that big. It was like it was almost a laughing stock. And then obviously we got to 460, which is a huge jump again. And things like the golf ball, the Pro V1 came out, which was revolutionary. Yeah, I just think it felt like there was more change. Even like you said, two-strap bags, that might sound now like a comical thing to say, but imagine carrying a golf bag, and I played at Hilly Golf Course, with one strap, like when you're holding the rucksack, and then using two, how much it felt like a difference, a change. And, you know, golf shoes went from metal spikes through to the soft spikes, and like the Black Widow. All this different stuff that admittedly, I'm talking probably over a 15-year span here, so it's not like it happened in 1 week, but it did feel like there was more innovation. Two-ball putter coming out blew my mind.
Was there a fashion in your golf club to wear waterproof trousers almost regardless of the weather?
Yeah.
It was almost mandatory. If you'd bought a nice pair of waterproof trousers, regardless of the weather, you'd have them on.
And then
you'd have a massive big Jay Lindenberg belt.
Yeah.
Big white belt over almost where your waterproofs are down far enough
so you could
see your belt.
Visors, even little things like
never see visors anymore, do you?
Even like I just call them line 'em ups, I think that's what they were, but you know, the little thing that you put on your golf ball and draw a line on it, even that was new at the time, that hadn't been done before. You could draw a line on your golf ball. And
I do remember the first time I was playing with some really good golfers, they were like county level golfers around that little par 3 course, and they showed me the first ever, I think it was a Bushnell at the time, but like a laser, and honestly I thought it was like witchcraft. I was like, what the, and they weren't even legal then. You couldn't use them at all. They were just using it for practice. And I was like, this is probably the greatest thing I've ever seen in my life. And now we just take it for granted, don't we?
It does feel like there has been, obviously because of the rules in place by the RNA and stuff, there's been less of a innovation over recent years, but those are the glory days. Take me back.
I think that was a nice little Friday treat.
Okay, so just one last question though before we wrap this up. It's only gonna be short and sweet. It's a Friday special, but something we touched on in the last podcast, the last normal one that came out on Tuesday, was what makes Honma clubs so expensive, and can you do a review? Well, you have reviewed the gold driver, I believe, haven't you?
I think I've.
We reviewed other bits as well. I've definitely did the gold driver.
And the golf ball.
I think in answer to the question, there's a couple of things, really. I think they do sometimes use, like, gold in the golf clubs, which obviously then puts the price up massively. I think Honda actually do some cheaper stuff as well. I'm just looking now on American Golf. They have a driver that you can buy that's £300. It's a Honda driver, which I know is not cheap, but it's a lot cheaper than some of the big brands. But
we've not done the golf balls.
We definitely have done the Honda golf balls. The Honda Beres range is the one that people often talk about, which is the gold stuff that is crazy expensive. And I think something I don't know enough about, really, I'd like to explore more, but there's a very different culture, certainly in Japan, isn't there, of like having the highest golf clubs. And it doesn't even mean performance-wise, but the most aspirational, the most expensive. And I've even been told, not something I've seen firsthand, obviously, but there's even a culture where if you're a very high like executive in a company, in your office, you'll have your golf clubs at all times that people can see. And the level of golf clubs they are determines your wealth and your stature and your social kind of position. But you'd have that set again, duplicated, that you actually use. So you'd have a set at home and then you'd have a set, obviously, like maybe in the office that people can just look at and be in awe of. And that is not for 1 second for performance benefits, because they just don't perform any better than anything else would do, of course. But if you want to kind of show off, and it's a bit like cars, isn't it? You know, if you got a Bentley or a Ferrari or a Lamborghini, there is some level of performance benefit in terms of speed. But ultimately, the reason why people are buying that when there is speed limits in place on the roads is to flex, to flaunt, to show off. Same with golf clubs.
Exactly the same with golf clubs. Guys, thanks for listening. Thanks
I've got
for watching.
A story.
Oh, go on. Sorry, yeah. Sorry, Matt. Yeah. Sorry.
No, no. Get I've got an mic. Exciting story. I don't know if I told you briefly, Rick. I don't know if I told Guy. I was out playing this weekend in my monthly golf society with Hartford Golf Society.
Shout out,
Hartford. Out for friendly knock and par 4, 265 yards. And the guy I was playing with, Jake Glymond, knocked it in for 01.
Wow.
One of the greatest things I think I've ever seen. I ran 80 yards down the fairway to celebrate with him and then realised I left all my clubs and I'd not even hit my shot yet, so I had to go back and hit it.
How far was the hole?
265 yards. So it was a short par 4.
What I want to do before, is he called Jake?
Jake, yeah.
Before we crush Jake's dreams, because having a hole in one is great, I want to know,
yeah,
are there any asterisks next to it?
Will be.
None.
Was it off a mat?
No. It was off grass.
Yep.
Tee box.
But?
It wasn't off the white.
But
come on, elaborate, Matt.
It might have been slightly forwards of the normal one.
Oh.
So it wasn't a real tee. Was it a tee that's there all year, or was it just done for its winter?
Well, probably just for winter. I think the course was protecting itself because it was in wet condition. Let's just say they were protecting the course.
What hole is it?
Yeah, let's have a look. What golf course was it?
Withington.
Withington, where's that?
Manchester.
Never heard of that. Withington
starts with a par 3 start.
This is no offense. We know that. What hole was it?
12.
Oh, wow. And how far did you play it at?
I know exactly what hole it is. How
long dog leg right. Oh, 265 yards.
Scorecard says yellows is 315.
Oh. It says the reds is 301.
Don't crush his dreams. Crushed. I wasn't even going to name the club. I was just going to whiff over it just in case.
He played a whole golf in one shot. Yeah, There's no dispute in that.
But it was 70 yards shorter than what it normally plays.
It was a one net zero, 6 points.
What do you think? Ed can have the judgment.
Did he pick up the bar tab?
He did, actually.
Okay.
I think there was 25 Guinnesses for everyone at the end.
I have a story.
Was it, by the way, sorry, last question, Matt. Was this done on 1st of April?
It was not. It was on Sunday.
Okay.
And then it's actually the best part about it. Obviously, he got all the Guinnesses and then he necked his Guinness in one as well, which was perfect. Perfect ending to a fitting day.
But was it a full pint?
It was a full pint.
Yeah, baby Guinness.
He didn't play the full
hole. It was a Guinness Zero.
I was checking it was actually a real one. Go on, Ed.
No, it's class.
Similar. Call my brother and he's playing in a Virginia State doubles competition. Shows up to the first tee, pretty nervous. And is playing the people he's playing with are the two. They're also drinking. They're drinking beers. So they go, you know what, we'll get on the beers. Go to the cart girl, buy some beers. And then 2 holes later, my brother's playing partner makes a hole in one. So then they buy 4 more beers and 4 more shots.
Oh, man, was this no asterisks, is it?
No asterisks in a Virginia State competition, and wow. They've got their second round today, so wish
good luck, Ed's brother.
That's awesome. I like it when there's no asterisks.
It feels real, doesn't it?
But the bar was closed.
I think Matt was that kid in school who was like year 9. It's like, Matt, have you ever kissed a girl? Yeah, this girl by my nan's. You mean nan's? My nan's caravan in Anglesey. Is that you, Matt?
No.
Caravan club.
No, fair dues. Well done, Jake. That is a class. Great achievement. And yeah, fair dues, 260 yards.
A class is a long par 3 then.
It's a long, long par 3 to be fair. But very short par 4.
Very too short. What did he hit?
Driver. It was windy.
Can't tell you if that was helping him or hindering him.
What, that it went in?
No, as in like, the way you said it's windy, was it downwind or into wind?
Oh, he's normally longer than that.
Longer than you?
Or? Well, he's way longer than me.
Longer than you?
So he's quite a lot shorter than Ed then.
I'd probably say longer than Ed, to be fair.
No. He's not a man that walks his planet this long.
He's got speed. He's got speed.
Mystery man, reveal yourself.
I mean, if he's got speed and he's long, the fact he's then had a hole in one on a par 4 that was 265 yards away with a driver.
I only hit my 5-iron 170 yards on that hole.
The only thing that does give him credit, actually, if it was like a wind behind and it like a 3-iron, then it sounds even more of an asterisk. It's a par 4, he's hit a 3-iron, he's a hole in one. But he hit driver.
Yeah, it was a one hop, pitch mark, straight in. It was exciting. Exciting experience.
And on that asterisk, we'll...
I've just been told as well my flight is next Tuesday.
All right.
So we can do a Monday
episode. See you next Tuesday.
Thanks, everyone. Thanks for listening. We'll see you...
Next Tuesday.
Peace.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
This message comes from BOF sponsor eBay. You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee. And you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, or sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly. eBay gets it. So look for the blue checkmark next to that thing you love. And be confident that every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is checked by experts. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.